We begin our time together in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent and indwelling. The Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and breathe and have our very being, and who dwells in us. Amen. Good morning and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's great to see all of your faces here in the room and to connect with all of you online, knowing that you are with us with intention, in spirit, and we are grateful for you all. My name is Jill Frank, and today I want us to take a moment and celebrate our beloved Peter, who 50 years ago yesterday, God breathed the breath of life into him. And we have been so blessed. So happy birthday, Peter. He's getting a day off. And we're blessed to have Guy Yeadon offering our message today. Thank you, Guy. I know we will be blessed by that as well. So just a couple of announcements. First of all, I want you to take just a moment and feel the vibrations in this room. They're big today. Yesterday, there were near 40 of us in this sanctuary chanting and praying all day. And the vibrations, I know, are still palpable. One of our closing chants was about the fragrance of God's love filling this space. So inhale deeply and take that in. As far as our announcements today, we have a half-day in-person Centering Prayer Retreat on August 27th. It'll be from 9 a.m. to noon, and it'll be led by Renee Sinicki. These half days are a wonderful time to take just a little bit of time apart and to come in community and pray. This one will be in person only. And then we have a five-day Centering Prayer Retreat coming up. We're calling it an intensive. It will be a very quiet retreat, and Donald Janung is leading that retreat. And the registration is open on the website now. So I encourage you, if you haven't taken a retreat yet this year, to consider this one and to come together and get to know each other in this very, very deep way. And lastly, I was supposed to make this announcement Wednesday and forgot, but Wednesday's service will be online only because after the service today, our technology crew is going to be breaking down our old system that has blessed us for the past 30 years, I guess, and a new one will be put in this. The sanctuary will be used in a different way on Wednesday. So please consider joining in online for that. So let's take a moment and feel ourselves present in this room, in this sacred space, joined together in intention and knowing that our work matters. What brought you here today? What do you wish for? May it be so. Amen.
Please join together invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Thank you.
Please stand and join in singing the gospel in one word.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Genesis 2. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Good morning. My name is Guy. It's a privilege to be here today. Last week, Peter talked about attention being the right hand of consciousness. What I'd like to show you today is perhaps the left hand of consciousness could be breathing. Peter often says that the Gospels are the what, and that the work of esoteric inner Christianity is the how. What I'd like to do today is show how breathing can enhance the three basic premises of the work. Can we use breathing to make non-critical self-observation a little bit easier? Can we use breathing to help us when we're identified? To me, without breathing, I wouldn't be able to become unidentified. It's too big often. There's various levels of identification for me. It could be reading the back of a bumper sticker on a pickup truck. Could make me identified. But there are also things that make me identified. Well, let's just say politely, I may end up being more like the Incredible Hulk or the Tasmanian Devil or an English gangster in a Guy Ritchie movie. So I use oxygen to calm me down big time when I'm identified. And then the best thing is self-remembering. In the work, those little eyes, we say, this is not I. Okay, that's true. But what am I if I'm not that? And can I access real I as a mere mortal on this planet? Could that actually be real? Could that actually be true? And could someone like me access that? And breath, to me, makes me access that. My mind does not. So that's how the sermon will roll today. But I want to start with a little bit of an introduction. And this is from a member of our congregation who, unfortunately, he's not here today. He usually sits over there, wears a hat, and he's not exactly ugly. His name is Greg Porter. And hi, Greg, if you're listening. I can't remember whether his blog site is gregorychristianporter.com or gregorychristopherporter.com. But man, he is a beautiful writer. And his June 9th blog is in reference to breath. What I'd like you to do as I read this and what I'd like you to do as this continues is to see if we can consciously breathe through our nose deeply, more deeply than our waking breath, a little bit of a pause and an elongated exhale. And try and see if this 30-minute homily can be like a meditative practice for you. But try and slow your breathing down. And let's start by doing that now. Maybe something like this. But through your nose first. And let me read the beginning of this beautifully written blog. We have a journey ahead, one likely to be filled with surprises, with joy, with suffering, and grief. It is equally vital that we properly frame our challenges as it is to mentally prepare for inevitable winters. Outside of spiritual virtue, nothing on our journey will be of greater value than breath. We are energy, and we regulate our energy with breath and movement. The shadow we face is an opportunity to witness our reflection, to feel the sensations that arise, and to choose whether to hold on to or let go of what no longer serves us. Rooting in our breath and holding steadfast to our faith will guide and support us through the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Our breath is our companion through healing. So let's first talk about using breath with non-critical self-observation. I would say if I was to evaluate what the biggest gift of attending the Church of Conscious Harmony, for me, I'm a lot more gentle on myself than I used to be. A lot more gentle. My work partners may beg to differ, and I still am very harsh on myself, but not even remotely close. And I think that non-critical self-observation is trying to teach us to be as gentle with our higher powers and our God and as Jesus and God and our higher powers would be, or Buddha would be. You know, when I'm harsh on myself, I'm being harsher than God and Jesus would be on Guy, aren't I? And that's no bueno. So I want to read something from Ram Dass, actually. We sing Be Here Now at the beginning of every service. Pretty sure Tim went on to the Lama retreat in New Mexico with Ram Dass. I'm pretty sure we take our children there. Let's see what Ram Dass has to say about non-critical self-observation. And his real name was Richard Alpert, for those of you who don't know that. And what I'd like you to do is close your eyes and breathe to this and feel it, sort of like a little Lectio Divina. I am not Richard Alpert. I am not Ram Dass. Those are both roles. All I am is loving awareness. I am loving awareness. It means that wherever I look, anything that touches my awareness will be loved by me. That loving awareness is the most fundamental I. So I want you to breathe this in as I talk to you. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. And what I'd like you to do silently as you breathe in, I want you to gently say, I am loving awareness. And as you breathe out, say, I am loving awareness. And just do it gently and kindly and smoothly. And then just come back to the room. Did we feel that a little bit? That might be what I am. Esoteric Christianity generally is about how do I make the Gospels useful to me as a human being right here, right now. When I can identify as being loving awareness, then I'm going to be a little bit more like God and a little bit more like Jesus. That's the whole point of the work. How can we do it too? So I am loving awareness, I think, is a wonderful thing. Now we're going to move on. This will be the biggest part of this identification, when I'm identified. And I'm going to show you this kind of little cheesy graph. I figure if Peter could get away with a cheesy graph, so could I. So the big I is what the work calls real I. That could be Buddha nature, that could be Christ consciousness, it could be universal intelligence, whatever that is to you. For me these days, because of the work, that is Christ consciousness. The work tells me that's available to me, a mere mortal. These little I's are where we're identified and part of the multiplicity of being a human being. What I want to talk to about these little eyes is, could they be trauma responses? And trauma is like having shrapnel in your body that someone presses up against. A person, a politician, whatever it may be. I have lots of shrapnel in me, and the world presses it, and then I become identified. On whatever level, you know, 2 out of 10 or 27 out of 10. Of Course in Miracles says that my sin, my only sin, is forgetting real I. And what is the biggest block to me accessing that truth is when I'm identified. I have no access to that. So let me tell you why that is. When I am triggered by an event and that shrapnel is pushed, I have an amygdala that puts me in fight or flight or freeze mode, right? That is survival mode, and technically, my brain is offline. The computer is unplugged. I literally have no access to my frontal lobe. My frontal lobe doesn't work particularly well, but it definitely doesn't work when it's unplugged. And that's the executive functioning. So I've really just regressed to the reptile brain, and my knuckles are scraping on the ground in survival mode. No high level of consciousness is available to me then. So this is where the breathing comes in. And I'm going to teach something to you called the emotional freedom technique. It's called EFT. You can get licensed in it, but it's not snobby like Rorschach dots where you have to be a PhD. Mere mortals can study it. Lauren, are you trained on Rorschach dots? Anyway, there's lots of videos on TV, on YouTube. I'm going to do a very simple version of it to reset, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to become identified. I want you to think of something that either happened recently, maybe something your husband said, maybe something your wife said, maybe a bumper sticker on the back of a pickup truck, but just get identified. Think about it, and it won't take very long. If you're like me, you might have a hard time narrowing it down. Pick the juiciest one, the one where you were the least skillful, the one that you wouldn't want anybody to see. And then go ahead and scale that on a scale of 0 to 10. And then we'll see if we can decrease it a little bit. So I don't have enough time to tell you all the science behind it, but we have energy meridians in our body. There's either 14 or 16 of them. Thomas Keating is right. The issues are in the tissues. So our trauma is not just in our mind. It's definitely in our body. I'm not actually very aware of my body, but my body is the only thing that's in the present moment. My mind rarely is. So the truth is in my body, not my mind. So we're going to tap various parts of our body which hits these energy meridians. Similar that if you go to the acupuncturist and your right shoulder hurts, she doesn't stick the needle in your right arm, it's somewhere else where the problem is. So we're going to do some breathing and we're going to do some tapping, and it's going to feel a little bit silly, but I'm okay with that. So what I want you to do right now is take 12 deep breaths, and we're going to do that together in unison on three. Deep, chesty, athletic breaths on three. One, two, three. Okay, come back to the room and notice how you feel already. Anybody wish they'd have stepped outside and taken 12 breaths when their husband rolled their eyes at them this week? Could it be that simple? When my amygdala is hijacked in fight or flight or freeze mode, the only way to put it out is to get some oxygen in there. The other unfortunate thing, breath in Aramaic and many languages translates to spirit. There's a word that I can't remember in Hawaiian that translates to white people breathing shallowly. Basically, we breathe shallow. And that tricks our amygdala to be in fight or flight or freeze, except we're in the mall or in a church. So one of the reasons the Dalai Lama said that America is the most uptight country in the world is that a lot of our anxiety is created by not breathing correctly, and then our mind kicks in and has a field day, and this multiplicity goes to town without oxygen. Want to get rid of these eyes, get some oxygen in your brain, and they will lose their power. So now we're going to do, this is where the silly part comes in. So I want you to breathe fairly deeply, kind of like this. And we're going to tap the top of our head. I apologize in advance how loud my forehead is. Could have something to do with its size and lack of cushioning. Tap the side of your eye right here, kind of if you had your eye pierced on the side. Make sure you're breathing deeply and smoothly simultaneously. Middle of your mustache region, right there. Now hit that Texas A&M pouch right there. Right there, guy. Tap it. I went to Clemson. I have no room to talk. Now your chin, please. Right here? Now on the little soft karate chop part of your hand, tap that. Shake your hand out. Take a deep breath. This isn't in the EFT training, but what I want you to do is construct a very simple prayer in reference to that irritating situation or person. Something kind of like, "Dear God, please forgive me for not being very skillful with my wife yesterday. I forgive her. Please help me do better. Amen." Something simple in reference to that thing that annoyed you or you became identified with. Just go ahead and tidy that up. Should be pretty easy. And then come back to the room. And then I want you to recalibrate that event on a scale of 0 to 10. Raise your hand if it went down. So notice we didn't talk about it, no one heard what it was, you didn't process it, you didn't talk to your therapist about it. You just got some oxygen in your brain and unclogged the toilet, as it were, with these energy meridians that have got all your trauma in them. And you wonder why you act like a 2-year-old. You can't not. Your brain's unplugged and this is all you got. Wah. So going back to this graph here, think about it with the eyes. Could real eye be heaven and identified eye be hell? Could this be war? Could this be peace? Could this be the devil? Could this be the angel? Also, the reason we prayed at the end, man, I never think to pray when I'm identified. I can't do it. But I just did when I got my amygdala chilled out with some oxygen. So let's move to the final piece of this, self-remembering. Because it's all very well to say this is not I, but when I'm the Incredible Hulk, this is I. I got no access to this. So hopefully we're a little calmer, we do have some access to it. So as I mentioned earlier, if sin in Greek is missing the mark, I can't remember the actual word, hermite, something like that. Anyway, if that's an archery term that I'm just off a smidge when I'm aiming for the bullseye as an archer, that's not the definition of sin that I was raised on, that I'm just off a smidge. That's not what it felt like when I was getting my hand hit with a ruler or writing on the chalkboard 100 times, I'm a disobedient and willful boy. Maybe some of you are Catholic. Maybe some of you are Baptist. You were definitely not raised that you were just off a smidge. So what is this real I that esoteric Christianity says is available to me? And this is going to be, I'm going to have to take a breath here in order to read this. And we're going to do a Lectio Divina on this from Judas Blackstone's book. And I'll do my best not to fall apart here. This, for me, is the single greatest paragraph I've ever read in any book ever. Because it told me that I'm all right. It told me that real I is me. Because unfortunately, not the work can tell me that this is not I. I take these eyes to be Guy. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to read this to you. It's heavy, man. And I'll try not to cry. So Judith calls real I fundamental consciousness. I'm going to read this to you 3 times. Wow. Fundamental consciousness is vitally important for healing from trauma because it cannot be injured. It has never been injured, no matter how severe our traumatic experiences have been. When we realize ourselves as fundamental consciousness, we know that we have not been irreparably damaged. We can actually feel that who we really are, who we have always deep down known we are, has always been there intact. This fundamental ground of ourselves, the near side of our subjectivity, has been there to witness our shattered, traumatized state without being shattered itself. We are basically whole, and that underlying wholeness cannot be fragmented or diminished. Only our access to our wholeness has been obstructed. real I is vitally important for healing from trauma because it cannot be injured. It has never been injured, no matter how severe our traumatic experiences have been. When we realize ourselves as real I, we know that we have not been irreparably damaged. We can actually feel that who we really are, who we have always deep down known that we are, has always been there, intact. This fundamental ground of ourselves, the near side of our subjectivity, has been there to witness our shattered, traumatized state without being shattered itself. We are basically whole, and that underlying wholeness cannot be fragmented or diminished. Only our access to our wholeness has been obstructed. So take a big, deep breath and come back to the room, please. So if esoteric Christianity is about how to make this stuff useful to me as a human being, then what if fundamental consciousness, real I, is esoteric resurrection? What if I've resurrected my real self, not my traumatized self, not these stupid little eyes that keep floating around? What if what I am is that? Undamaged, unbroken, whole, real, accessible. That when I'm aligned with God, I'm in Christ consciousness, and that's what I am. I mean, unless I've not been paying attention in the last 13 years, that's what this church teaches. And I know that that's what I am. And what interferes with it are these eyes, trauma, television, all the things that put me to sleep. When I pray to Mother Mary when I walk in here, this is my prayer and this is how we will end today. Mother Mary, please help me say yes when I want to say no. Please help me say no when I want to say yes. And please help me remember that I too am your son. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's presence and loving awareness in our lives.
As we prepare to receive the divine mystery of the Eucharist, let us take a moment and remember all those who are hungry and in need of living bread and water, all those who are experiencing lack of any kind at this time, all those who are living in trauma, in pain, at war. And we know that we can draw them in love, in our consciousness, into wholeness, and those parts of ourselves that are fragmented and identified We draw those in and release them all into God's loving care and wholeness. Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his love to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Spirit, prepare the table.
Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into love. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete
to receive the divine presence
in your most holy and precious name. Let us take a moment and let's remember all the amazing grace who are hungry and in need of living bread and water, all those who are experiencing lack of any kind at this time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.
let them communicate his love to us. We ask this in Jesus' name.
So I want you to close your eyes and just glance back to that annoying little identified sentence.
During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying,
Dear God, thank you for the Church of Conscious Harmony.
This is my body.
Thank you for all the beautiful people who teach us and guide us.
This is the body of Christ.
Thank you for the work. Thank you for centering prayer. And thank you for expanding the circle. Amen.